Hi everyone, this is Michael Anfield, and thank you so much for joining us here today, and for joining me here today. And I really appreciate you checking out these audio clips. So yeah, very, very, very appreciative. I'm very happy you've joined us. Yeah, because Peaceful Village is not just me, it's a bunch of people. So let's get into this audio. So this is a very special audio here today because I'm going to be talking about my struggles, my things that I didn't talk to people about before. And this is very, very important audio. So please listen all the way through this very important audio, and I think you'll enjoy this, and I think you'll understand probably more about my life and about the situation that I have here, and all about that. This audio is going to be pretty lengthy, so just bear in mind that it is going to be lengthy. There's a lot to say here, so let's get into this. And let's see. So, as a child, I was always a little bit different. I had some friends, but not many. I lived in the suburbs of a cold place. I'm an earthling now, so I don't identify myself with any particular country, because country is part of the system, part of the government system. Basically, it is a corporation, or they make it a corporation, and they sign someone, or you know, signs the some piece of paper, and they make it a corporation, what is known as a country. So I don't belong to any country. Yes, I was born in some place that is a country, but I don't identify myself as any country or any nationality. I'm anti-national. So that is the thing. Just want to let you know. So I was very much an introverted person as a child and teenager. I didn't have many friends, but I did have some friends, you know, but not many. And in life, I didn't know really what I wanted to do. I didn't like school. I didn't like it. The only time I liked school was when I was going there for free food or some event or party or, yeah, some kind of presentation. Someone was coming for a speech or presenting some kind of speech or something. So this was the only times that I really liked going to school. And also I didn't like the cold winters. And so that was really something I guess I was really at heart. I was a tropical being. And that's why now I'm in a tropical place. So I couldn't conform to many, many things. But yeah, of course, I was the usual person eating the usual type of food, which I don't consider actually to be food. The type of stuff like dead animals and their secretions, eggs, dairy, honey, etc., etc. Of course, wearing them, fur and leather and silk and down and all this kind of stuff. Seeing them in circuses and in aquariums and zoos and so forth. Yeah, buying products that they were tested on and so forth and so forth. Pets and so forth. All of that. I was all part of that whole system. So the Western mentality, or what is known as the Western society, Western civilization. That's basically where I grew up, in a suburb, so not in the urban area, but suburbs. Oh, sorry, not suburbs, suburban areas. My mistake, suburban areas. So I wasn't in the suburbs like a forest or anything like that. I was more or less in a kind of small part of the city, So suburban area. Yeah, my mistake. So yeah, I wasn't into school. I really didn't like school. I just wanted to sleep. I just wanted to play. I just wanted to do things on my own. And whenever I was presented assignments, I just didn't want to do the assignments, And I just wanted the holidays to go on and on and on and on forever, so that I never ever partook in school. Yeah, so that was that. And I always loved holidays. I loved Christmas, and I was always part of this kind of rituals, even though I was, my family was never religious. Even though I saw a cross one time hidden somehow in a cupboard. And yeah, but we were never religious at all. Probably someone gave that to us. But I did get baptized as I don't remember now, Catholic probably, Christian Catholic. But that was because we had these people basically that were at the time our godparents. So basically, if my mom or my dad passed away, or both of them passed away, and nobody else was there to take care of me, well, basically they would take care of me, in place, even if my aunt or my uncle or whoever, technically are my more biological family, the godparents would take care of me. So that's, yeah. But over time, yeah, we didn't associate much with them, and we forgot about that. In fact, I didn't even like that, and I was too young, so I didn't really know much. But over time, yeah, I'm anti-religion, anti-religious, and yeah. So over time, in my teenage years, I just didn't know what I really wanted in life. I didn't know what I wanted to be. I just knew somehow the only way to make it in what we call the world, or in society, is there's two paths in society, really. One is to get a job and to be like everyone else, and there's of course different classes, different type of people, and so forth. There's people that are in very low paying jobs, people in kind of medium paying jobs, kind of like middle class, and then there's a high class. And high class is sometimes not even high class, depending on where you live in the world. So my jobs after my teenage years, and really I didn't like school, but I finished up to grade 12, with pretty not so good marks, but I did pass. I did go to college for building renovation. Did help me a little bit, but again, I did not want to conform. That's the thing, conform, and I wanted to do things at my own pace, my own time, in my own way, and school didn't let me do that. You see, it's an institution that tells students what to do and when to do it, and so we don't have the freedom to choose, to decide. We're not there playing. We're basically there, really conforming, and it's difficult. I didn't like it. I couldn't keep up with it. I didn't completely finish, nor did I want to. I just left that. It was a 1 year course. I had at least one or two courses left to complete. And you could have took in, I could have took in a second year, but I didn't want to. In any case, it wasn't for me. So what I did after that was I just started to do odd jobs, and I was going from one place to another, living with my mother at the time. My father passed away long ago. That's a different story. Biological. Anyways, I was basically raised by my mother, with also another sister, just one sister. And I was raised by my mom. I knew how she was struggling in life, and so I did whatever I could to help. But financially, I was that kind of kid that really just loved to buy things. I was very materialistic. Basically, I would end up with almost no money every time. So I bought like whatever, pizzas and hot dogs and all kinds of food and a lot of material things, especially music CDs. I bought CD players and all sorts of material things, I bought, as a child, of course, toys and different things. And of course, during Christmas, I would get a lot of different toys. Every so often, I would get a lot of toys also. So ultimately, after college, I didn't know what to do, so I was just going from one job to the next, and I was so confused with life. I didn't like conforming, and my whole life, well, since that point, my whole life since that time, I had nightmares about going to school, nightmares or being in school, nightmares about being in a job. I really did not like this, and I had real nightmares. Even till now, having nightmares about school. Not often school anymore. Well, yes, I do have some nightmares about being in school, and some nightmares about being in a job. And usually it's the same type of job, some kind of general labor, and I'm not getting paid, and I'm not being on time, and they're frustrated with me. The bosses are frustrated with me. They don't know what to do. I'm frustrated because I don't want to be there, But I have these dreams. In the last many years, me levitating, and not only levitating, but flying, and the ability to fly. This is so cool because I feel free and I feel like, oh, I'm flying. But at some point, I feel kind of scared because at some point, sometimes I cannot fly anymore and I kind of fall. So that is this kind of the scary part of that. But, and also sometimes I'm trying to get away from someone or some people, and I have difficulty sometimes to get off the ground to fly or to levitate at least. So that's a tricky thing, So I never felt free in my life, really, truly. I've always had to wake up at a certain time. I never had true freedom. And in society, we don't have true freedom. We are locked in some kind of system. And even if we're not in a job and we have our own business, there's again two types of businesses. There's one where we're the boss and we are controlling. We're the one man or the one woman boss, so we're doing all the work mostly ourselves, or we have maybe one or two other helpers, but most of the work that we're doing ourselves. So I can see that sometimes when people have very small restaurants, they're usually the only one working. Maybe their spouse is helping them, Maybe their children also helping them. Maybe it's just themselves, and maybe it's just one other worker, employee. So they struggle, you know, because they're not making ends meet. And many times, especially in these unindustrialized or less industrialized places, you can find these people often just close their businesses or struggle, and they keep going from one business to the next business to the next business, and they keep struggling. And rent is so high and all this kind of stuff, and they cannot afford their own location and all this kind of stuff. So it's hard. And then there's this second group of people that are so business oriented, and they have a huge businesses, and they have other executive directors or whatever you want to call them. They have big businesses. It may be maybe a medium-sized company or a large company or a mega corporation. So these are the type of people that really, really make it, you know. Sometimes they open franchises of different businesses, and they make, you know, decent money and all this kind of stuff. And some of them make even excellent money. They make millions or even billions. And you can see so many billionaires, and even now, who knows if there's trillionaires out there. So that. Or I guess there's a third group, which is basically people that just inherit money from a lot of money. Or they're born into a rich family, something like that. I was in the first category, the kind of the poor kid, you know. But nowadays, that money that I was making in the cold place, that was for where I am right now, that is such good money. So if I have saved that money, I would have been rich today in this place that I am now. I would have been very, very rich. But what did I do? Spend. And I did many things in my time as hobbies or things. I did a lot with music. So I was playing piano. I eventually got my own keyboard, a professional keyboard. And I had a piano, a big size piano. Basically almost my whole life having a piano, but I didn't really do anything. I took some lessons, but yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, I just wanted to freely play. In fact, I love piano, but at the same time, I didn't like it for some reason. And now I regret it. And also, I regret learning languages, you know. So, you can't teach old people new tricks. I didn't want to say dog here because we don't teach dogs anything. We let them be. We don't domesticate animals here. That's a different story if you want to learn more about that. I have a book called Return to the Gentle Sea for the Love That Lives in Everyone. So that talks more about pets and domestication and all that. So I started to do, at this time, working in general labor jobs from time to time, part-time, sometimes full-time. And I went from job to job, basically, in employment agencies. And at this time I was making some music, different types of music, like chronic music and ambient music and so many different other types of music. And yeah, at some point this didn't go through. I knew that this was not going to be my profession. But at some point my family was like, hey, why don't you be a DJ? You love being DJs, you can do weddings and things like that. And I said, yeah, I'm not a very, very, very good DJ, and I don't really know how to mix so well. And that was the thing, I didn't know how to mix so well. So at some point I got a mixing console, a CD mixing console thing. You put, you know, you have the CD on two CDJs basically. And this was from, I can't remember which company, and nor do I want to say which company. But basically, it was a pretty decent company that has a lot of DJ equipment and lighting equipment and stuff like that for parties. And eventually I decided to do DJing for weddings and for corporate parties and things like that. And I had some customers, but I wasn't very successful in getting customers. I was new, I didn't really have even an office or anything like that. So I took them basically to my mother's place and I was basically in my room. I had kind of the studio or the office there. And then I had to use a very small kind of car to transport all the large equipment that I had. And it was very difficult. So I had to somehow, there was a technique that I did in such a way I had to actually draw it down in order to fit all the equipment inside. So it was kind of, yeah. So ultimately, I didn't get many customers. And so eventually I didn't know what I was going to do. So what eventually happened was I eventually left the DJing. I didn't know what I was going to do. I did go on government assistance off and on for some periods of time. I went on government assistance. But what did I do instead of save the money and actually think what I really want to do in life? I spent it. I spent it on recording equipment. I spent it on here and there on food, on this and that. Yeah, I wasn't saving. That's for sure. I wasn't saving. I was, of course, at the same time, I was paying rent and I was paying different bills here and there. But I wasn't saving. Or if I was saving, I was saving for this product or this thing, that I wanted to buy. Yeah, that's sad because now I could have been very rich in the place I am now. So after some time, I'm not going to tell you all the details, what happened, who I was with, where I was living, all this kind of stuff. But basically, at some point, I really felt lost in life. At some point, I was actually became vegan. I was very depressed. I became vegan, and then at some point, I was doing more inner spiritual work, and I went vegan in 2009. I did more inner spiritual work, and I was meditating more and this kind of thing. And then after about a year, I started writing my first book, but I released kind of a short book called The Journey to Compassionate Living. That was the first one that I wrote, and then I wrote kind of another one called A Journey, which was the same time as the second book. Basically, I just wanted something short that people could read. But the first one was A Journey to Compassionate Living. And at the same time, I was writing another book because I wanted to release something quick, but the first book was taking a long time. It actually took 5 years to where it is now. And of course, now the book is called The Interconnectedness of Life. And now there's a lot more I could say. And my other books go into more details about different things about veganism. And yeah, about life and everything in general. So my whole life is basically all my thoughts, all my life, everything is in these books, And it's of course good to read each book, but now there's a lot of ideas or things within these books that I don't necessarily agree or follow or this kind of thing. And I question a lot of stuff, what I've written. And a lot of these books have to be eventually at some point probably updated. So anyways, I was writing and writing and writing and writing and writing, and I couldn't stop. I was writing and writing and writing and writing. During my, I think it was my second book, writing my second book, and I'm not saying The Journey, I'm saying the other longer one called The Lost Love. Writing that, I I had this realization. I was working almost full time in a minimum wage job. I was working almost full time, and I was also working on this book almost full time. So I ultimately did not get much sleep. In fact, sometimes none at all for weeks and weeks and weeks. I think it even went on for some months. I had between 0 hours of sleep up to 2 or 3 hours. So at some point I couldn't, I was getting almost blind because when you stare at a screen, especially at the time I didn't know too much about the blue light and in devices and screens and stuff and how to like diminish or dim that blue light. I didn't know that there was such a thing as blue light filter. And I was on my computer for the most part, but I can't remember if I had, I think I did have a cell phone. But anyways, I had ultimately, yeah, my computer. So I didn't know about these kind of things, a blue light filter. And also I was looking at the screen in a light mode, not a dark mode. So it hurts the eyes more in the light screen, and the brightness was pretty high on that at the time. Now I, of course, I know all of these things, and I use dark screen and I use blue light filter and all this kind of things as much as possible, possibly can. So I was writing and writing and writing and writing, and almost getting no sleep. And then at some point, my eyes were so bloodshot red, because when you're looking at a screen, especially very close, we tend not to blink as frequently. And when we don't blink as frequently, our eyes are not as watery. So then we start to have dry eyes and problems with our eyes because of not blinking enough. And so when I'm on the screen, I try as best as I can, especially if I'm on for periods of time, I try to blink as often as I can. So I didn't, my eyes were dry, and eventually I had this problem that I could not close my eyes. I could not do anything. I was kind of paralyzed and almost blind at some point, and I could not continue the job that I was in, the general labor position. And also, it was a kind of a factory where they were producing not producing, they were packaging chemical products for companies and things like that. And I was contributing to making these, assembling or making these products and helping them with general type jobs. Can you believe it? As a vegan, I was doing that, and I at some point I said, I cannot do this. Because it's harming the environment, it's harming ourselves, it's harming other animals, other beings. I can't be contributing to destruction, to harm. So I was almost completely blind at some point. I had so much pus, so much mucus all around my eyes that at some point I couldn't close it. And I said, no matter what, I'm going to take off at least 1 week. Just rest, sleep, and if I need to eat, I'll like juice something or have a smoothie or something. But I wasn't eating frequently. I was basically juicing a little bit or making a smoothie, but mostly juicing and mostly sleeping. So I wasn't drinking very often. So I just rested. I just slept as much as I could. I did not check any phones. I did not check any computers. I did not check anything. More than a week, I was thinking to myself, no matter what happens, I'm not going to work in these exploitive jobs that harm other beings and harm the environment. Of course, harming myself. And I said, no matter what, I'm going to help the non-human animals of this earth as much as possible, because when we help other beings, and I don't mean rescuing and adopting and all these kind of practices, which are very harmful. If you really, we need to understand about this domestication of pets, especially, and sanctuaries, that this is not the answer. Of course, there are certain cases when it comes to certain, you know, sanctuaries and stuff like that. You know, sometimes they are necessary in some way, but for the most part, we need to forego all of this kind of domestication. If the being is not completely free, the being is in a fenced in area or in a cage or in a leash or something like that. No. But then of course there's a lot to say here. People might think, oh, you just want to throw your pet on the street, but that's not, there's so many things to say here, so many factors and so many situations. So that, for that, you can read my book, Return to the Gentle Sea, For the Love That Lives in Everyone. So that you can, yeah, and I have an audiobook as well for that. Return to the Gentle Sea and The Lost Love. I have those two are audiobooks. They're available online. Check out my website at weareinterconnected.com. Just how it's spelled, I'm going to write it in the description. Oh, sorry, there's no description actually in these audio clips. But basically, it's just how it's pronounced and spelled. Weareinterconnected.com. If you search me anyways online, Michael Lanfield, you will see my website comes up. Also, Peaceful Village comes up. So, yeah. So, what else to say? So anyways, I just wanted to ultimately focus on sharing veganism with as many people as possible. And now that goes even further, because now I understand it's not viable to be in society. And I want to tell you a little bit about that, because I think that's very, very important. Even though this audio clip is going on longer, this is a very, very important, and I think it's crucial, please, to stay on until the end of this clip. So I started to understand more and more about injustice within society and how, yeah, there are people in society that take advantage of others. What is it called? Government. And maybe there's others above as well. We don't know, that operate government and so forth, which people call cabal. Sometimes people call Illuminati, but Illuminati is illuminating. So, yeah, I don't really use that word anymore, even though I think I used it in my other book, Our Path to Freedom. And I actually started to learn more and more and more about that thanks to a friend that I met in Belize. So thank you to him. Yeah. So I learned more and more and more about the deceptions about everything, about the round earth and about flat earth and about all this kind of stuff, and about what we know in society as outer space and rockets going to the moon and all these kind of things, and all the deceptions within Hollywood, and yeah, just everything of society, all the religions, all the institutions, marriage. I want no part of that, because that is not freedom. That is limiting us. All the institutions limit us. Of course, now, still, I'm part of society because I'm not completely self-sustainable. We, you know, nowadays, my partner and I, we still go to town from time to time, once or twice a week, or even three times a week sometimes, which is very, very, very rarely. But yeah, we do that, and we get electricity, we get internet, because we don't have full electricity, and internet here on the land. We have some 100-watt solar panel that we use, that is kind of portable solar panel that it's not a true full source of electricity that you can plug in and all this kind of stuff. So it just charges the phone and tablets and things like that. So Over time, after 2018, over time, I just started to, and that was the time, and I tell you something, the time that I was starting to be very lost. I was writing. I tell you one story about the last story about me living in the cold place. So basically, I was living in a cold place for about a year. No, sorry. Yeah, about a year. About a year. And I remember I had this kind of, I was lost. I didn't really know what to do. I was struggling. I was trying to sell my books and all this kind of thing online, but I could not do it. I could not get a lot of sales. I was struggling somehow to get customers. Same thing with my DJ business, same thing with selling books. But I trusted the universe somehow to provide abundance always to me. But I kind of still felt lost. And every so often, because I was living also in a suburban area of the city, of another city, pretty big city, kind of medium-sized city. And I remember that I felt lost a lot of times and I didn't know what to do. And when I felt so frustrated, I was sitting behind the computer mostly, using internet and all this kind of stuff. But at times I would go out. I would eat stuff that I didn't really want to eat because at the time I really wanted to be raw vegan. And I knew why. I read the books like books by Mango Wadzak, like Destination Eden and the Eden Fruitarian Guidebook and all these kind of books. This is the thing that started me. And then I heard about Michael Arnstein. That was before I heard about Michael Arnstein and I heard about the 80-10-10, Dr. Douglas Graham, and I heard about, many different things. These are the three basic things that I heard about raw veganism, and I knew raw veganism was the way. But of course, we're addicted to all this cookery, and it lures us. And because I didn't have enough money, enough budget, I couldn't afford to buy all fruits, all vegetables. Buying all these specialty kind of raw products, I couldn't afford it. And mostly I was just buying whatever I could. And at times, there were times that I even just was eating celery, or eating broccoli, or eating cabbage, or eating just banana smoothies. And yeah, it was difficult. I had to make difficult choices. And there was times when I couldn't even afford to pay my rent at times. And it was sad. But anyways, what happened was at that time I was very, very lost. So like, what am I gonna do? I really don't wanna work. I don't know what's going on. So I would often take kind of a walks in nature or walk. There used to be small little ponds in an area with houses in the background. So I used to take a walk on the paths where the ponds were. And I remember eating the vegan chocolate and the vegan bars, protein bars and all this kind of stuff. And I remember like not eating as healthy as I really wanted to. A lot of cookery and stuff like that. And I felt really lost. And sometimes I would walk to the, or take my bike sometimes to the community center and then walk the track. So yeah, I was trying to look on the ground and the floor, see if somebody dropped any money or anything, and wondering, how can I make so much, at least 5,000 or 10,000? What can I do? But I realized that it wasn't the money. It wasn't the lack of the money that was a problem. Yeah, of course, our lives can be much better if we had enough money to do things, but that wasn't really the thing. So what happened? Eventually, I said to myself that Because before in 2014, I had the idea to create a intentional community, a vegan intentional community. And at some point I so wanted to create this community, but I just didn't know how I was going to do that. How am I going to buy a land for $300,000 or $1 million? How am I going to buy a big land to create a community, a vegan community? Well, anyways, at some point I was contemplating all those kind of things, and I was so lost, but I wanted to go. I didn't want to be somewhere cold. I didn't want to stay somewhere cold. I wanted to go somewhere warm. So at some point I just said, okay, within 1.5 months or 2 months, I'm going to go to, and I chose a country because this country, the main language was English. So this place called Belize, I wanted to go to Belize. I had the plan to bike all the way down, but I didn't have a chance to do that. I did it partially, but then I eventually took a plane. I did it with a friend. I went there, and I realized, hey, I'm just gonna go there. So I went there, and that is when my life changed. Of course, still I was quite lost. And that was the time when I wrote one of my books called Our Path to Freedom. A little bit more about anarchism and stuff like that, but Our Path to Freedom. Anyways, I understood truly now why I was more depressed than ever and why I was so lost. And so I was ultimately, slowly, more and more, starting to become more and more positive and more trusting in the universe. And I truly realized, and I first time living completely in nature. So I realized and I understood at that time that that's what I was missing, nature. To immerse myself, to live in nature. Not just for 1 week or 2 weeks or a weekend or something, but for months. I did so for 5 full months. Of course, at this period of time, I was still some way using phone and, you know, using my computer and so forth. And from time to time, going to this nearby city. And I was using internet and all this kind of stuff. But this was the key. But I still felt somewhat disconnected or lost in part way, because that land wasn't mine. I was, you know, I'm grateful to the guy that took me in and taught me a lot. We became friends eventually, and yeah, eventually I started understanding more and more about deceptions within the government, and I just didn't want to conform in any way. You know, we're not products, we're not corporations, because when we're citizens, or we consider ourselves citizens, or to have a nationality, or to be from this country, we are slaves. We are not free. We are a corporation. So I don't have anything. I'm truly, I don't want to be a part, and I'm not a part of society. The only time is when I get my food. When we get our food, when we go to town for internet and electricity, and that's it. Or once in a while to pick up some package if we need to. But other than that, we don't want anything to do with society. We know right now that this is the way to live in nature. It's not working. We don't need someone above us to rule us. Somebody will say, well, if we don't have government, it's going to be a total chaos. Maybe in the beginning, for a little bit. Maybe until we transition. Yeah. But eventually, I went back to the cold place just for a visit. And then I eventually started to do some volunteering through Workaway. I heard about Workaway through my friend, and I started doing some Workaway. And then I did a few Workaways, and then after that, I was too cold, and I knew I wanted to go somewhere else. So I had a friend, not an ex-friend, but a friend. We're still kind of friends, but we don't talk often. Basically, yeah, they were saying that, hey, I got this land now, and I'm here in, you know, of course, the place called Costa Rica, and, you know, you should come here, and, you know, this and that, and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I felt so lost still in some way. I didn't know where I was, what I was going to do, where I was going to go. Anyways, eventually I decided to go to Costa Rica to join that community. I'm not going to mention which community, but to go there. Anyways, I did that. I stayed there for some months. I was so grateful to be there. I saw the ins and outs of community. It wasn't a full community because they were not really living on the land. There was some community members, but they were not living full-time on their land. And their land was kind of a transition. They were still buying that or something. And from time to time, we would go to the land, but we were renting in another place, not too far. Anyways, long story short, I stayed in Costa Rica. I went, but I left that community. I stayed in Costa Rica. Still, I was in touch with some of the people there. And anyways, I felt somehow I wanted to create my own community. There was not the values and the system. I shouldn't say system, but the kind of the values and the structure that I really wanted for community that I wanted to build. In fact, the community at the time was, I just called it basically Peaceful Village. So Peaceful Village, yeah. And so I continued. I went back from time to time to the cold place just to visit my mom and my family. And then at some point, I just didn't go back for anything. But I stayed in Costa Rica for a little period of time. And I knew that I really wanted to, I started working there a little bit. It's kind of a long story, but I was working there. Yeah. And then eventually I decided I met my partner Aurora in just before this madness happened in 2020. And ultimately, eventually I decided to go to meet her. So I went to meet her in another place, which I'm not going to mention because it's all irrelevant. Anyways, I met her and then we decided that we're going to head on to another place. So after a period of time, we hit it off. She trusted me. She had a calling to follow me, to trust me, to follow, to go to nature. And we're going to find a place that we can create our own community. So instead, what we did was we actually went to other communities or other places that was kind of a forestry project or community. And for some reason, they were very, very nice places. You know, we had a very terrific time at these places. We went to three different places and we made friends there, a lot of friends. But for some reason still, and we were there in some places for many months. In one place we left the first day, the other place we stayed many months, and then another place we stayed just a few weeks. But somehow we were thinking of getting a land because creating our own community is challenging now with this COVID nonsense. And I'm thinking, and I was talking to my partner, Aurora, and I said, Aurora, truly I have in my heart to create our community. Somehow the values, the things that happen here, for some reason, I just want to create my own community. So we left and we did a kind of, we traveled basically throughout different places. So that's what we were doing, in going to these three places and also traveling at the same time. We did a few places in the Sierra and a few places in the Amazon until we got to this one place. And I tell you something. So we were in this one place for a very long time, northern Amazonian area of the place called Ecuador. And what happened was there was a calling, and we were trying to look for land. We didn't know what to do. Anyways, what really happened was at one point, someone gave us a kind of a keychain. Yeah, a keychain, and it said in Spanish, well, translated to English, "This is your destination." And they, of course, they put the name of the place. "This is your destination." And I said, "Wow. Wow, this is your destination." But we were looking and looking and looking and looking and looking for land, and it was not possible. There was no land that fit our criteria. No land that fit our criteria. And looking and looking and looking. At some point, we were kind of desperate. The people that we were staying with helped us, so we're very grateful to them. And what happened ultimately, I'm going to keep this, trying to make this as short as possible, was eventually we wanted to go to the coast. I said, "It's not working here. Let's try the coast." Then we got so many bad signals from the coast. People getting robbed. A lot of things. I was told that there's a lot of problems in the coast. The climate, everything is not that great compared to where we were. And it, yeah, there was just a lot of problems over there. And also the land just too expensive, and we didn't know what to do. Anyways, we somehow got in touch with some people, with the people that we were staying at. So they knew some people that had a kind of a another person that knew another guy. So basically, a guy. So the people that we were with, staying with for a period of time, they knew this guy who knew another guy who basically had a land. But somehow, I don't know, just the guy wasn't getting back to us for some reason, and we were kind of desperate, and we were telling the people we were with, "Please, we would really love to see this. Can you please contact them? They're not contacting us." All this kind of stuff. So then they pushed, and the guy eventually responded. The most loveliest human being, my goodness, the most loveliest human being ever. And we got the land eventually. And there was actually land that we had for some months. We were ready to get this land, but there would have been more problems. So we were kind of desperate that we didn't get that land out. But anyways, this other land, we got it. We went to see it several times. Every time we went to see it, the current land that we're on right now, every time we went to see it, somehow it was raining. It was very much raining every time we went to see it. So it was kind of difficult to really, really take a look at everything. We were so in love with this land. The guy, somehow we got the land, and we are now here in Peaceful Village. And then we call this place Peaceful Village Raw Vegan Healing Community. So Raw Vegan Healing Community. And we're writing this healing book, a holistic healing called The Way We Heal, Reconnecting to the Power of Nature. Yeah, so this is my life. I haven't been able to conform to being the regular jobs. Here also, people don't make much money. They make average about $15 a day, sometimes $20 a day. So it's very, very minimal. That's not something I really want to do and take away from the purpose of this community. There's a lot involved with this community, not just the living with people and having a community. It's a lot more. It's really about living a different way, and not being part of society. We're more anarchist. And so, yeah, we are very grateful for everybody who has and who will help us, had and has and still is, and also will help us in creating this and making this possible. And there's a lot that we need to do still. There's still a lot of facilities that we need to create. There's still a lot of things we need to do here. Just this area, for example, there's three parts to the land. And we're still here in the first part that we call Tierra Libertad. Three beautiful, pristine rivers and streams and cascades and waterfalls. It's a beautiful, pristine area without cell towers and internet towers and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, electricity towers and none of that kind of stuff here. So we're really depending on people to help us in any way they can. Volunteers, guests, these kind of things. Like just to start building the community center, we need probably $10,000, And we'd like to do a lot more here in this part of the land called Tierra Libertad. Probably we would need probably $25,000 or $30,000 complete for this part of the land. And if we want to develop also on the other parts of the land and to grow as much food as possible, yeah, that's going to be additional money, additional donations. So everyone who's helping us right now in any way they're doing with their financial donations or in other ways, we really, really, really appreciate it. We appreciate all the volunteers who have been here, all the future volunteers that we will have and that we have right now. So we're very grateful for all of them. And we're grateful for you for listening. So yeah, we're running Peaceful Village. It's peaceful-village.com. Please, please be aware that sometimes the site can be a little bit slower down. And we want to try to mitigate those problems. If anybody has any experience with web designing or anything pertaining to creating communities or any kind of skills or anything they want to come volunteer, then you can go to our website, peaceful-village.com. So peaceful hyphen or dash village.com. So that is it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. And I'll talk to everyone soon. Okay, everybody, I'm so happy that you joined us and that you were, I hope you enjoyed this audio clip and my life story, basically. And I will talk to you soon. Take care, everybody.